Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you this evening to another program of Missing Pages of History. We'd like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to your home this evening to share information that we hope we can use as a tool to better our community and make our people more responsible. And the way we're going to do this is we have our contributors and our analysts with us today who can be sharing some perspectives based upon their understanding and their experiences. And we hope from their experience and understanding, we can use this to help us make us a better community. Right now, we have with us Emmanuel out of North Carolina, Michaela out of Philadelphia, and Sister Susie out of Richmond, Virginia. We'd like to welcome them all to Missing Pages of History. And today, we basically have our open topics and news that we can use. What's going on in the neck of your woods? At a later time, we will give you some time for the listening audience. If you'd like to share maybe what's going on in the neck of your woods, we'll give you that opportunity. But right now, we'd like to talk about some of the missing pages, some of the things that's going on as it relates to our history and our struggle that are being overlooked by the major media. And we would like to start off with Emmanuel out of North Carolina. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages as always. And could you give us your take on this concept of entitlement? We notice in the media they keep using the word entitlement, particularly as it relates to President Barack Obama programs in terms of some of the things that he wanted to do that seemed logical and seemed like it would benefit the people, everyday people. But they're saying that it's entitlement programs. And a lot of times this word entitlement seemed to be used really as a code word for Africans or Africans in America. Emmanuel, how have they used the word entitlement, and how do you see how this word need to be properly used in this proper context?
Yeah, Mr. Robertson, first of all, entitlement, that is just a term they've been using for the last, you might say, six, seven, 8 years. Entitlements mean basically Social Security. It means Medicaid, Medicare. Those are three chief components of entitlements. Everything else comes up under that. The different other, we call safety net programs that come up under that. And we have to understand exactly what entitlements mean. The word was welfare from the beginning. Subsidizing was used at one time. But entitlements are things that we have paid for, that the working person has paid for. Now, not everybody's in entitlements have worked. We're talking about Medicaid, Medicare, those two. But Social Security, which is called FICA, that comes out of your paycheck, these entitlements are things you are entitled to because you paid for them. They are your, at 62 years of age, you're entitled to these particular components of entitlements. Well, let's take and dissect entitlements a little bit further. Let's take the biggest one of all. We might say four is a check concern, because the other ones you don't see checks. You don't see a check for Medicaid or Medicare because then they're in the health program, and President Obama's trying to expand that into his, you know, into his health program, Obamacare, with Medicaid expansion of it, so people can't afford it and also at the same time get a tax break. If your income is, you know, in below poverty level, so you get a break again. And if you're above the poverty level and you got four or five children, whatever, dependents, whatever, you still get subsidized. Again, because they're trying to see what it takes to, you know, you might say, to take care of a family of four, a family of five, a family of six. So you can get subsidized up to $250,000. How many people know that? Up to $250,000, you still kind of get, you know, gets subsidized. So it's just a matter of, you know, what type of help that you're in. But entitlements, that's to show you the numbers, that European Americans, they average over $1,400 a month. I'm going to repeat that. European Americans, they average over $1,400 a month Social Security. African Americans, they average less than $800 per month. That's entitlement. Now, you want to decrease some of it, start decreasing from the European Americans who get over $1,400 a month. And bring, if you want to make $1,000 flat for everybody, that's great. Well, some other things we can do to decrease it. Because Paul Ryan, he brought in some type of budget, he said that he want to take at least $3.3 trillion off in the next 10 years of entitlements. Well, where is he going to get it from? When each year you get an increase of 1.5%. It used to be 3%. They already cut coal out, already cut the adjustments out, all of that. All that's gone. But again, you look at it, if you don't have the entitlements, you're going to hurt the economy. Where does entitlement money go? No food stamp, that's entitlement. Where the money goes to merchants. Who are the merchants? Most of them are European Americans. That's who they are. That's who getting the money. You can't take a food stamp and eat it. You have to go purchase with it. So let's get the whole gamut here. And no, they don't want to talk about what I'm talking about. They want to talk about entitlements. What happens to the entitlement money? Where does it go? Same thing with entitlements you get for school or for student loans. Where does it go? To the university. Where does it go? To the professors. Where does it go? To the teachers. Where does it go? To the buildings, construction. Who owns all these companies that get this money that's overcharged? See, we don't look at things from us. I look at things all the way. Because I'm a Six Sigma person, so I see things that other people don't see. They just see the skirts, the skirted issue. Where does the money go? Well, the economy, without the safety net and without the entitlements, what are we talking about? How much money are we talking about? You're talking about basically almost $1 trillion. $1 trillion we're going to lose if they cut entitlements by 10 or 15%. That's a lot of money. Everybody not 62 years old getting entitlements. Some of children can't work. They get automatically get, you know, disability insurance, whatever. So we got to look at all this. Entitlements, go to the military. Food stamps, almost 1 million soldiers get it. Entitlements, grants, all these entitlements. Who gets the grants? They talk about one thing, the inner city, what little mess we get. Are we talking about the big businesses, the subsidizing they get, the welfare they get, the entitlements they get because they're drilling or digging oil or doing this? And the $9.2 million the CEOs get, not counting the guys right up under them, the CFO, the COO, they're not talking about these guys. How much money are they getting? They average $9 million. What are these guys having, about $7 million, $8 million? That's where the money goes. When you talk about entitlement, talk about the whole gamut. Talk about everything about it. It's a good thing. Where does the money go? They can't invest nothing. They can't do anything. It goes straight to merchants. Most people are entitled. They can't even buy an automobile. They use public transportation. They get passes. They get this. Another entitlement. So when you talk about entitlements, let's talk about the whole gamut of entitlements, things that you get doing entitlements. The military guys who get hurt. Some get, you know, whatever, get maimed, injured. Over 1 million of them are maimed today. Entitlements. They get checks, they get this, they get that, they get grants to fix their homes up, or they get loans, all these entitlements. So stop talking about the inner city. Stop talking about African Americans. Let's talk about European Americans who get 80% of the entitlements in their businesses. They get the money. It comes right back to them. Little 20%, where does that go? Oh, to your salon, to your barbershop. Little black businesses, little black restaurants that we own, that's all we get out of it. Just a little bit. We don't have businesses that take food stamps, basically. We don't have none of that stuff. Well, we got hospitals, Medicaid, doctors, all this. Who get that? So let's do it right. Let's talk about what goes on. So entitlements, those are the major three. If I gave you a bunch of others, too, I can give you a bunch of other ones also. some of your telephone services, you know, senior citizens get that. They get deductions for, at the restaurants, 20% off, 10% off in the restaurants. In certain states, the retirement states like Florida, they get 20% off their rent, whatever, they get that. So in Arizona, places like that. So that's the way the entitlement money goes. But where does it end up at? Where does it end up? That's nobody talking about the end results. Who gets the money? So when you talk about it, they're going to make it bad on one end so they can stop you from getting any kind of money. Because anything that Europeans are getting free, and by the way, they get over 75% of the entitlements, and I told you what the numbers are, they get basically almost $700 or more a month just on Social Security alone because they got promoted. They were supervisors and managers. They didn't do no work. They were supervisors and managers. We did the work. African-Americans did the work. Let's tell it like it is. We did the work. And they were supervisors, folding their arms and cocking their legs up. That's all they ever done that I know they ever done. My father trained many European-Americans to be his boss, but he couldn't be the boss, and they made more money than he did. But that's the entitlement. They think they're entitled to everything, and you're entitled to nothing. That's the way they see it. They don't see it no other way. And they got people in Congress.
Let me stop you for a second, because these are some missing pages of history that people are receiving.
These are missing pages, not in history.
You very rarely hear people talk about it from that particular angle.
Now, you're not going
to hear. You are an individual who have a king's acumen for business, know how business is structured and run and function. Can you talk to our audience as we talk about this concept of entitlement and trying to put a color on it? Can you talk to the audience also about what is the difference between entitlement, which you have described, and subsidy? Because, you know, when you talk about corporate America, they seem like there's a lot of loopholes where they are subsidized and get all kind of write-offs, where they stand to benefit still off the back of those that they are criticizing, in which they said they are not entitled to no entitlement. So talk about, can you give our people a sense of how does subsidies work, how does write-off work when it comes to the business community?
Well, in some subsidies, there are some states that get subsidized because they can't grow anything, can't produce anything, like in North Dakota, South Dakota, your Montanas, your Wyomings. These states get subsidized. They're your big welfare states. They get subsidized. The government subsidizes them because they have basically silos there. Our military has silos in these states because they can't grow anything. So they get subsidized. Subsidy, I think, is almost $400 billion. That's what they get. Welfare, individual welfare, is about $16 billion a year. $16 billion compared to almost $400 billion. Well, the write-offs they get is basically for exploration. They get it for what they call frack things. They get, you know, they get write-offs for research and development. All this is where they can check on it or not. I don't know that much. But I've seen they check on it because they got very few people to really check on, so they get the write-offs automatically. They got people lobbying just for that, to make sure they get the return, so they pay less taxes, and they can pocket more money among themselves. This is what this is all about. Subsidizing and welfare, they're the same, too. You cannot disjoint either one of them. They are the same. Nothing different, except for one is a write-off. Subsidized, you can write stuff off, and welfare, you cannot. That's the difference. You can write the automobiles off, the machinery off, they call it appreciation on your tax forms. You can't appreciate anything on welfare, but you can appreciate things on subsidizing. You can appreciate things where you can all kind. You can get grants. You can't get grants on welfare. You can get grants on subsidizing. You can get research and development in universities and colleges. You put X amount of dollars up in there, they'll take care of that for you and make sure you hire the students to do such. Subsidize, you can also have scholarships in your corporate name. You can Westinghouse scholarship, a General Motors scholarship, and you get subsidized for those scholarships. You can write those scholarships off. How many people know that? How many black universities get this kind of money? Virginia Union, Virginia State, A&T, all these are very good schools. How much can they write off or get subsidized from these corporations to study in research development? They have buildings on campuses that corporations are allowed to put on. That building is a whole write-off. because they put it on that campus. That building might be $200-400 million. It's a write-off. See, we don't know none of this stuff. But Missing Pages of History will bring you kind of stuff that you need to know. Where your money going? And who gets it? Who benefits from it? Who gets the contracts? Who are getting them? How many, you know, affirmative action, like I said before, been around for over 400 years, but who gets the affirmatives? I'm sick of affirmative action, too, because who gets the affirmative? European American gets the affirmative action. They get it all. They formed it just to put a name on it, because now you're getting something. When you're getting something, they have to put a name on it, equal opportunity employee. If you're okay and you're equal, why you got to put that line up under your employment, your classified section, equal unemployment. If you're already equal, why are you doing it? It means you're not equal. You're not equal. You're guilty. And we have to call them out. We have to expose them. And we don't do enough exposing. We just don't do it. Our organizations don't do enough exposing because they're afraid of their jobs. That's the scare tactic they use by using reverse psychology on you. Hospitals aren't built for us. Oh, no. They don't build these things for us when you're 13% of the population. You can't afford it. But Medicare and Medicaid, knowing if it gets subsidized, that's why medicine is so high, hospitals are so expensive, because everybody's on it. Senior citizens, people can't afford it. I mean, this country is 60% below the poverty level. People aren't making enough money. It includes European Americans also, Latinos, all these people included, 66%. But again, the 1% or the 2%, they make all the money, and they get all the money, and they write everything off. They write their hospitalization off because it's part of the corporate culture. They write all that Medicaid, all this. They write all that stuff off. 401K, matching your money. They do all of that. All those are right on. We got to close those loopholes. Airplanes they just flying all over the place, saying it's business. Drinking liquor is business. I mean, having parties is business. Business lunches, business dinners, please. Can welfare people write their business off? Can they write their lunch off? No, they can't. But again, who benefit from this? The big box stores, the Costco, the Price Club, you might call it, Price Club's called Costco now, Sam's Club, BJ's, all of them now take food stamps. Yeah. They take food stamps. Why? They did it for a reason. Couldn't do it before. But everybody wants them because it stimulates their economy at their stores. The big stores, their corporate stores. All of them take that. Walmart, all of them taking that. Wouldn't take it before. But they take them now because there's a write-off.
Well, Emmanuel, that's a write-off. This is not the kind of economic class that they teach us or the things that you're saying. But anyway, no, let's stop right here. We'll go to
real stuff, like I say. See, here's the thing, Lee. It takes $350 billion to $400 billion a month to run this country. I'm going to repeat that because people don't know what's going on. It takes $350 billion to $400 billion to run this country every month. It's not a year, it's a month. Multiply that times 12. That's where you get your $4 to $5 trillion budget from. That's where you get it from. That's how they get it. How many people know this? That's how the budget's arrived, how much it costs to run this country. Now, why you got that big gap between 350 to 400 million, because there are things that happen. Things like disaster. Things like this happen. You got to earmark money to something like, you know, the hurricane or this or that. That comes out of nowhere. Now, again, people get promoted in the military. Get promoted, they got to pay that. So once people get bonuses and this and working for the government. They get raises, promotions again. So that's why that $50 billion gap is in there between 350 and 400, because you know what's going to happen on occurrence. What's going to happen? Look what happened at Flight 370. We got, I think, 6 ships over there. Well, that's not in the budget from the beginning. That's not there. You can't recall that. So that's that $50 billion that comes in there. When I said 350 to 400 billion, let's give you some examples why is that type of thing involved? That's why it's involved. Prison. Getting prisons being built. How many are being built? People getting out, people going in, cost factor, trials, cost factor, government trial. So all this gets involved in that $50 billion that, you know, that's why you can't put an exact number on it, because all this stuff is in the gap. People applying for food stamps, applying for, you know, for the safety net, or this or that. So all this, scholarships, all this kind of stuff gets involved. Subsidies gets involved. So when I say between $350 and $400 billion to run this country every month, then after you take in money from January, get money from everybody, you know, filing income taxes in January to April, then you got to pay people refunds. That comes out of that. So all the, I can give you probably 100 different things why that $50 billion is out there and the budget is what it is, because it goes from $350 to about $400 billion to run this country every month. You're talking about hospital costs, Medicaid, Medicare, all that gets involved. Operations gets expensive, so that's why it's in the billions, not in the millions. That's the reason why. But they're not going to tell you this. None of these guys in Congress can come and say, what I just said, they can't tell you this. And they're not going to tell you. Some of them know, they won't even tell you because they don't know. They don't study like I study. I'm Six Sigma. It's a different ballgame of studying. I look at things from the beginning to Alpha to the Omega. I dissect everything. What is the ending results? Who gets it at the end? And we don't talk about the end results, who's making the money. But you can see visually who's getting all the money. Just look at the malls, look at the housing, look who live where, look at the subdivisions, who live what, who live in the million-dollar houses, who do this and that. We have 1% of all the houses in this country over $1 million, African-Americans. Just 1%. That's almost nothing. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about Jay-Z, or we'll talk about, you know, Magic Johnson, Tiger Woods. We'll talk about them. 5 billionaires out of 1,090 billionaires, we got five. Five. So who gets the money? Like the Koch brothers, who fund the Republican Party, basically. Look what they in. Look how much money they write off. Look how much money they write off.
Man, you see, like, their money when it comes to the African American community is missing. And on that note, we'd like to go to our next analyst, Brother McHale out of Philadelphia. Brother McHale, welcome. And based upon our listening audience, in terms of filling in some missing pages, give us some kind of update or what's going on in the neck of your woods out there, Brother McHale.
Well, peace. This is McHale, Philadelphia, PA, and good to be on the show. Lately, we've been dealing with the end of the weather and budgets, and we're getting ready now to go into a new election cycle. And what we've been trying to do is to examine a lot of the smaller posts here in the Philadelphia area, as well as some of the judges positions that will be up soon. So there's a move to kind of get people informed and ready to go on the local elections. We also have a series of conferences that we're working with, dealing with the gentrification that's going on in the city. We've been looking at the policies of the city itself concerning housing here. Also, there's been a little bit of talk about the end of the Corbett, Tom Corbett, who's our Pennsylvania governor, he'll be up for, that position will be up in the next year. And we have, at this point, Tom Wolf, who's a Democrat and very progressive, reminds me of de Blasio out of New York, the mayor of New York, who's going to be moving in. Hopefully we'll be able to get him into office. But we look at all these positions and try to get a good analysis on how it will affect people here locally. Speaking to what the previous conversation has been concerning the finance of the country, what Mr. Joyner has been saying is correct. The sad thing is that basically what we've been looking at is a history of discrimination against so-called African-American people, and a the consequences of globalization, and we've been seeing that when we were under, even under Reagan, that we were talking about moving into a service economy. So now we've got the situation where the United States is no longer a major manufacturer, and everything's been outsourced. So mostly what we're hearing from the Republican side is an attempt to kind of keep things status quo as we make this transition. Now, we hope that the manufacturing base will begin to return. There are some efforts, and we've heard President Obama speak towards that, but he's been blocked consistently since he's been in office. And we're hoping that we can take a closer look at what can be done on a local level to begin employing self and, you know, other folks that need services with on our own. To be completely dependent on these politicians, we've seen already that they have an agenda that does not always match up with the needs of the people in that they supposedly represent. So that's what we'll be working on here in Philadelphia.
Okay, so we go to our next area, Sister Susie from Richmond, Virginia. What's going on, Nick Woods? We would like to inform our listening audience that in May, the second week of May, we'll be holding our second annual raffle drawing, and we'd like to thank those who just participated in our past raffle drawing. And for more information and more support in terms of trying to help Missing Pages of History become a valuable tool to help build our communities, you're always welcome to send any support or contribution to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. The P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, zip code 23261. This is a bi-weekly program. You can catch us at the same time on the same station every other Saturday at 12 noon. So, if you don't get a chance to hear this complete program, we invite you to go to our archive by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. You can always check out our archive. We will be going over today. So again, if you don't get to hear the entire program, please check out our website. Now, coming to our next analyst and contributors, Susie out of Richmond, Virginia. What's going on in Nick of Y'all Woods, Susie?
One of the issues going on in Richmond's neck of the wood is the fact that the NAACP headquarters, they actually locked out the President King Salim Kaifani, and everyone's trying to find out what's really going on. And we got Carmen Taylor, who's the president, current state president. We got Sylvia Woods, who is Richmond's NAACP president. L.J. McCoy, who is Chesterfield NAACP representative, and Idra Silla Bridgeforth, who is Henrico NAACP. All these individuals have been questioned as to what's going on with NAACP office being locked up, and no one seems to know what the real problem is and why the King Salim was automatically locked out of the office.
We know historically WCB has been a viable organization and serving the needs of our community, and we hope at some point in time, you know, they would find a way to resolve that, because there's nothing more important at this stage in terms of our daily struggle is to have some kind of organizational leadership. So that's what's going on in Nick of your Woods, Susie. We'd like to thank you. We'd like to let our audience, invite our audience, if they want to call in and have any views or comments, feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. What we're going to do right now, we're going to have an open question in which we'd like to start with Emmanuel, and we'd like to talk a little bit about this missing pages as it relates to this missing airplane. Emmanuel, this airplane 777, we look at the media, they're often all kind of stories. It seems like a lot of things are missing. Give us a perspective, your perspective. What you make up this whole scenario, this missing plane number 777, Emmanuel?
Well, flight 370 and the airplane, the commercial plane, was 777. I worked on that plane for about 7 years. while I was in research and development, and that's the most sophisticated plane flying the airways today. The 777 was created by a computer, totally computer robotics. It has backups. It has about 5 backups, everything on that plane. The engines are about Rolls Royce. And I'm looking at all the detector systems on there, the sonar system, radar systems, attach itself to the satellites and everything else. It's amazing that this plane cannot be found. My speculation is they won't find it because the Indian Ocean is I call it the ocean of the unknown. No one is the deepest. It is the most, you might say, atrocious ocean out there. We used to dump a lot of manufacturing entities, even China, Japan, they dump everything in the Indian Ocean. So you're going to have sea mammals out there that are very huge because they have a lot of toxic and a lot of chemicals in them. It's a different ball. They eat metal just like they're chewing cloth or chewing rubber. That's how they eat up stuff. And they can smell blood 400-500 miles away. I just believe that that plane got hijacked. My thing is they got hijacked. I'm looking at the guys who got their forged passports. How they got on there, what they get on that board. One was going to Russia, and one was going, I think, to Denmark. Just don't know what happened. That fly space coming from Malaysia going to China, it's amazing to me what happened there. I just can't picture it. Why you go 4 hours out of your route, and of course, the automatic pilots on that plane, there's 5 of them. Somebody made somebody push a button. The pilot pushed a button, or someone made him push these buttons, so that it had to derail itself and cut all the radar systems off, because the systems got totally disconnected. It'd be very difficult to find this. They're trying to narrow it down as much as they can. The black box in 30 days is no longer good to them. 30 days, this box basically destroys itself. They don't want nobody to copy what's in that box. No other country they're going to get that. If it's discovered, it automatically blows up itself. So there's a lot of speculation out there. If they don't find everything and find the plane in 15 days, any debris at all, but going to the Indian Ocean, that particular area that he flew over four hours from his planned flight or navigated flight, no one, how good you are, your expertise, this is a puzzling thing to me. We send spacecraft to the moon, everywhere else, and here's a plane that goes from Malaysia to go into China, basically, to Beijing. It's amazing that they can't track it. And each engine, each one of those Rolls Royce engines, they have detectors on them and sonar stuff on them. So everything in that plane is giving out basically some type of signals, and it cannot be tracked. Now, if the plane got blew up, exploded, near the fuselage system, that's where the black boxes normally are. They put them in different places in the plane. But most times, there's a fuselage system. If that blew up, the black box would not be destroyed because, again, it's in five plates of titanium steel. So, again, it's good until 30 days. That box is not giving off nothing. So, evidently, it must be deep in the ocean or when those large sea mammals have swallowed it. And some of those sea mammals, like the starfish, the octopus, they're huge, and they have their own antennas. So understand exactly what we're going up against. We're going up against the largest whales, the largest sharks, the largest sea mammals in the world are located right there. Because, again, they eat a lot of waste. They eat a lot of chemicals, a lot of toxins that the China throws in the water from their manufacturing entities. Same as Japan. They fly it all and drop it there. Same as we do. In Vietnam, we flew our stuff when I was in Vietnam. We flew it on, we dropped everything up in there because the salt is intense. Things get destroyed there in about a day, and nobody's going to dive in that water. You see what they're doing. They're on the ship. They're just only using sonar. Nobody diving up in there because that is the unknown. So to recap what I just said, basically, I have no idea. I can only speculate. Everybody's speculating. And they on top of it. But some of the things they're doing, if I was in charge, I would be doing the same thing. That's all you can do is try to, he went to the left, went to the right, or went down south. You got to do all of that. More ships out there, the better it is. But again, the salt and that open ocean depth has got these beyond recognition, and beyond, probably I would say, radar to a certain extent. That's just crazy. There are no pictures. There's just nothing. So they're away from the satellites. They're away from everything. And they're going to be checking the satellites, I would say, very soon. It's like they do the spacecraft to find out what's going on. But, you know, we can detect this. We can talk to people on a spacecraft, I mean, to the moon, and this is just right here. That is amazing. It's just amazing to me. We have things. We have a radar. We have systems that can actually detect a fly on an elephant's butt in Nigeria. We can track it from here, and we can hit it and hit it with a laser. That's how sophisticated we are. And I'm saying, how in the world this plane got away from us? Flight 370.
Speaking of that point, how it got away from us, Brother McKay, I'd like for you to address that question. What do you think of this incident? What do you make of it?
Well, I've been watching the news reports, and right there you're being very limited in the information that you're getting. It could be, you could speculate from here to the end of time, but I think Mr. Joyner has a very good point when he speaks about the accuracy and the far-reaching abilities of the technology that we have today. Now, from what we've been told for the last 10, 15, 20 years is that the satellites cover just about every spot on Earth, and they can really focus in. And as far as we know, that's the case. But when you have a plane that just disappears, it seems to indicate that something else is going on. It could have just blown up or fallen to the sea, but you would think that the satellite coverage would be able to take care of that, possibly and even in real time. They seem to be implying now is that it's been hijacked, and they're thinking that possibly off the coast of Africa or possibly in Pakistan is where the plane may have ended up. And the implications of that seems to be that they're suggesting that we're in for another 911 at some point down the line. They mentioned certain Islamic groups, the Uyghurs, which we've heard of before. There were a few of them had been captured and placed in Guantanamo a few years back. And there seems to be indicators that this would be the source. Now, again, you know, we're getting this from CNN and Fox and whatever the other news media, but you got to remember that these media are only, they're limited in the amount of information that they have, and they also may not be giving us the full story of even the information that they do have at their hand. So, again, we could speculate. I would suggest that we continue to keep an eye on this, and I think if anything, the news media may give you indicators as to the possibilities. We've seen all kinds of operations. We see a lot of things going on right now. Ukraine, the Crimea, Russia. We have Syria. And there's no telling what else these people may be cooking up. But again, that's just speculation.
Yes, if the plane is going to any of those places like Pakistan, this will pick it up because we have bases there. We're already there. So if we go anywhere across like that, out Africa, we have bases there. We got our ships there, submarines are there. It would pick it up right away. So that speculation, I didn't even, you know, news and that, they're totally wrong there. They're nowhere close to being that type of thing. You can go across that airspace like that. We got bases in South, you know, in Saudi Arabia. You can't even get no place to these places without us knowing it. So, to me, again, I look at the hijack theory, and I look at it being exploding. And again, the plane probably went into the Indian Ocean of all the places it would go, because again, they are known. And but again, like Michael was saying, that there are certain groups out there. But the plane is big. It's 95% Chinese on the plane. I mean, that's where a lot of my speculation went away, because of anything else, because of that. When you got three Americans on the plane, or three or four, that's all was on there. Everybody was Chinese. So and plane, you know, derived in Malaysia. Malaysia of all places. That's the cheapest, you know, labor source in the world right now, Malaysia is. So you're looking at that, and business people going to China from Malaysia, because that's what they're doing now. People don't know this, but most of your appliances, your Frigidaires, your Kenmores, your Samsungs is made in Malaysia at 24 cents an hour. So that was, you know, look at the people on there. China is giving this to them because they can make it less than China at 95 cents an hour. So I'm looking at the business concept of it. And again, the two Iranians that got on, I don't like to profile people, but passports being forged, I'm looking at that possibility of being hijacked, putting a gun to the pilot's head, somebody to press those buttons. I call it, you know, the difference buttons. I call them the difference button because it makes a difference in what you're doing. You press those buttons, the radar, everything goes off. So there's five buttons in there you got to press, basically. So somebody to press those buttons. They kill everything. So
okay,
somebody
to our listen. Mm-hmm. Okay, to our listening audience and to our contributors, analysts, we have only a few minutes left. I'll ask Brother Mikhail and Emmanuel just to make a closing statement, or a minute or less, to our audience in terms of what can they expect from Mr. Page's history in the future. Mikhail, you go first.
Peace. Missing Pages of Philadelphia and Missing Pages of History here in Philadelphia, we'll be working with a lot of nonprofits in our locale to coordinate further information for the show. We'd like to kind of focus on folks who are doing good things in the neighborhood. Personally, I'm not going to be too concerned about these larger issues of missing planes. There's not too much we can do about those situations, but we can handle a lot of the businesses and the problems that we have in our local communities, especially in terms of housing and education. Those things that aren't being given to us by the government or that we live under, we can provide for ourselves at whatever level we are capable, and that's what we're going to be focused on.
Emmanuel, what can it be expect from Mr. Page of History, North Carolina?
And for North Carolina, we're going to be assessing things like very useful websites. People can go to get information. I'm going to be talking about investing in America, where you should invest at. I'm going to talk about a lot of health issues for in-home caregivers. I'm going to talk about, again, diabetes, high blood pressure. I'm going to talk about kidney disease. I'm going to talk about financial aid, education as far as scholarships, this type of thing, to financial aid in that particular arena. And I'm going to talk about your money. Talk about your money, how to do certain things with your money, where to shop at, give you helpful hints where to shop. And again, these I'm going to give you a lot of websites to go to respond to, because they're out there and we don't look at them like we should. Very useful, a lot of useful information is out there to do that. And again, I'm going to try to get on some platforms and talk about voting. We have to vote. We got to vote on these midterm elections. So I'll be talking, stressing a lot on that. We need to get out there and vote.
Okay, Emmanuel, on that note, we're going to have to stop you. And I'd like to thank everyone for allowing us to come to our households today. And, mind you, our next program will be March the 29th, 12 p.m., same time, same station. And we'd like to support us and support the work that we're doing in our communities. You can always contact us at P.O. Box 27782. Richmond, Virginia 23261, or you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. And remember, where there's economic dependency, there can be no freedom. We'd like to encourage you to support Mr. Pages by sending a donation in. And you can send a donation to MPH, P.O. P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, remember, we are using information as a means to help build stronger communities.